The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. What man among you having 100 sheep and losing one of them would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need for repentance. Or what woman having 10 coins and losing one would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost." In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then he said, "A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me.' So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pots on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat, but here am I dying from hunger? I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Let us celebrate with a feast, because the son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. The Gospel of the Lord. What's common to all those three parables this morning is that they do not make sense. Jesus asked the question, which one of you, if you had 100 sheep and you lose one, you leave the 99 in the desert, not in the barn, in the desert and go looking for the lost sheep? And the answer is, no one. It's crazy. Who will do such a thing, risk 99 sheep because one lost sheep? Or if you lost a coin, let's say $20, $50, you maybe turn up your house upside down looking for it, but you're not going to throw a party that costs you more than the $50 for finding $50. And then the story with the man with his two sons. Really? If your child came to you and said, Mom and Dad, I can't wait till you die, give me my inheritance now. I know you're going to run, get your checkbook, and write them the check. And say, God bless you, son. No one does these things. They don't make sense. So why is Jesus telling this parable? They don't make sense to us, but they make sense to God. Because God is crazy in love with each one of us. When you're in love, we do crazy things. We don't listen to common sense because love takes priority over everything else. We're consumed by that love. And God is totally consumed by his love for each one of us that it looks crazy. God is crazy in love with each one of you. I want you to say, God is crazy in love with me. Sounds strange, doesn't it? And probably there's a voice in your head saying, no, God is not. Father Albert is the crazy one. That's what Jesus reveals through these gospels. But it's not enough just to know that God is crazy in love with us. Is how do we respond to that love? The young man, wanting to be on his own, wanting to be free, do whatever he wants to do. He just wants his money. He doesn't care about his father and how he would feel asking him to do such a thing. He thinks money is going to bring him happiness. So he goes, obviously he has to spend the money. And then suddenly when he runs out of money, he runs out of friends. And he runs out of any happiness he was seeking. He tries to get a job. He's given the worst possible job for a Jewish man, to feed unclean animals, to feed the pigs. And even he cannot eat what the pigs are eating. And then something happens. Jesus tells us, coming to his senses, he used his head. He used his common sense and said, look, my slaves at my father's house eat better and live better. What am I doing here? You know, what's interesting is that he doesn't go back because he felt bad about how he treated his father. We're not told anything that he really repented for the way he misbehaved or he disrespected his father. He goes back because he's hungry and he uses common sense. I can eat better at my father's house. I won't starve. So he goes back and he prepares this beautiful, you know, words to say to his father. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Take me back as your slave. Well, I don't want to judge him, but since he's not a real person, it's a story. I doubt he was sincere, really. I think it's a little drama to get his father to take him back. So he goes back. And before he says anything, his father sees him. He's looking out for him. He's waiting for him. And he runs towards him and embraces him and kisses him. And then the son says his, you know, words that he prepared. And the father, I mean, he's not even listening, says, bring the finest robe, put a finger on it, a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. My son is back. Let's celebrate. Let's kill the fatted calf. And the celebration starts. Now, the older son, he has a different story. He's out, you know, working. He comes home. He sees all the activity and going on, the music, people, you know, busy cooking, preparing the calf. He goes, what's going on? And they tell him, your brother came back sound and safe, and your father is throwing a party for him. And there's another crazy thing. He acts in a crazy way. He's crazy angry. I mean, that's a little overboard. I mean, at least enjoy the day. Wait till later on to kind of bring all, you know, that stuff, that baggage that your brother is carrying with him. But he right away is so angry, he wouldn't go in. He stays outside. The father, again, is the one who comes out and pleads with his son. And the older brother, or the older son, has the audacity to tell his father, I've been working so hard all these years, doing everything you want me to do, and you haven't given me even a go to celebrate with my friends. Now remember, in the beginning of the parable, Jesus says that the father divided his property among both sons. So he got his share. He's been living in his father's house, eating his father's food, working his father's business, and he says, you haven't given me anything. Sometimes how we react to God's love to us is like that older son. We're ungrateful. We don't appreciate what God has given to us. We think that we have worked hard for everything we have. And yet it was God who adopted us as his children. It was God who gave us the inheritance of eternal life with him before we even do anything as babies. When we get baptized, that's what happens. We become God's sons and daughters. We become inheritors of eternal life. And yet, no, it's all about me. I'm going to be a good person on my own. It's not about what we do that's going to get us to heaven. It's about having the right relationship with God. The relationship of children grateful to God who elevated us and raised us up that one day we can be like him, live for all eternity. And we stand outside angry because we didn't get a goat that we asked for. That was the sin of the older brother. St. Paul tells us Jesus came to save sinners. The good news is that all of us are sinners. And Jesus came for each one of us. And he showed us God's crazy love by dying on the cross for us. Even before we say, okay, we're going to follow you, we're going to believe in you. That's how crazy God is. And God always calling us to enter the celebration, to enter the feast. And celebrate how blessed are we that we have a God who's crazy in love with us. How do we do this today? Well, for us Catholics, the way we do this is when we go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. You know, we think that the Sacrament of Reconciliation is about confessing our sins, telling our sins to God. I have news for you. God knows everything we do. He's not waiting for us to tell him. But what happens when we go to that confessional is that moment when the father runs to his son to embrace him, kisses him, and put the ring on his finger and his finest robes on him. When we go and God restores us to be his children, no matter what we have done, there is no sin greater than God's love. And yet, we're that the older son stand out saying, well, I don't have any sins. I can get myself to heaven. I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. I work on my own. I make things happen. And we're angry when we see other people being reconciled to God. We're angry with one another. If we don't experience God's forgiveness for us, God who is perfect, how are we going to forgive one another? Why would we forgive one another when people, that other has hurt us? If God, the one who we hurt, is willing to forgive us, don't you think that should melt our hearts a little bit and for us to begin to forgive those who have hurt us? That's the power of love. That's what Jesus' message is all about, that it's love that can transform us, can lead us to forgiveness. So we don't live in this world where we're polarized, we're divided, we're angry at one another, we're pointing fingers and judging one another. What the world needs is more forgiveness. And it starts with us. It starts with us asking God to forgive us, knowing how God will always respond no matter what we do. We don't know what happened with the older son. What do you think? Do you think he went in or he stayed outside? We don't know what happens with the younger son. I mean, he might went in, you know, enjoyed the celebration, filled his belly for a few days, and then maybe he went back to his same old ways. But what's important is, what about you? How are you going to finish your story? Are you going to stay outside? Or are you going to go inside and join the celebration?